And we also have the main guest tonight, if you've looked at our Facebook page or the website at all, is Bob Elvis of the P-38 Association. They're going to come on and talk about the efforts of recovering a P-38. Bob, are you there?
No, he's not yet, Chris.
What a letdown.
We'll do it live.
We have some good theme music for you guys, though. Little fishing theme song for you this morning.
Yeah,
old Bill Nance theme song this morning. Yeah, one of my favorites right there, Bill Nance there, of Chris. Talking about fishing and all that water you guys have had out there, has it made it hard to work on the airplanes in Indiana here lately?
Well, we actually have some storage sheds that we're trying to get into.
Well, that's great. I really don't care, but your guest is on the line now. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Segue there.
Not solely with my emotions.
We'll talk about the pictures after the real content here is.
Hi, Bob. Are you there with the Warmer Rescue Show? How are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. I hope you can hear me okay.
Oh, we can hear you just fine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Elvis. Bob, am I pronouncing that right? Is it Elvis?
It is Elvis, kind of like Elvis, only with an A.
Okay, sounds good. And Bob, you're working on you and your group are working on a recovery of some artifacts and parts of a P-38 Lightning, and we just wanted to get some information and let you kind of take the floor and tell us about this. Obviously, P-38, I think everybody's ears perk up a bit.
Yeah, well, P-38, we're P-38 National Association, and we do everything just about P-38. Our association's been around since 1987, and in the early days, we were made up of a lot of P-38 guys, pilots, ground crews, et cetera, and they kept it going, and now the torch is being handed off to next generation of P-38, which is basically the sons and daughters and fans of the P-38. Well, we don't have those guys around in the numbers that we used to have, so our mission statement has changed a little bit from being basically a breakfast club in the old days to where we're out there and doing just about everything P-38 related. We support all the P-38s that are flying through the museums, like Planes of Fame and Allied Fighters, Bob Carden and Glacier Girl, Rough Stuff, all the P-38s are out there, and whatever we can do to help support their mission. So part of our group, though, is historically based, and Dale DeBry, who's sitting right here, you can say hi to Dale. He's our public relations officer.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, Chris.
She's the one that goes out there, and she works. We have a historian in our outfit, Steve Blake, who's a published author, along with John Stanaway, that writes for us. And we came across a story here, and I'll let Dale kind of bring you up to speed on how this story came to fall in our lap at P-38 National Association. So tell Dale what you got.
Well, in December, it was actually Christmas Eve, I was forwarded an email from our staff at the P-38 National from a reporter in France, Julien Bellaud. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but he was just looking for a photograph of a P-38 to use in an article, newspaper article in France. So, needless to say, I didn't get the email till the 26th of December, and when I responded to him, he said, thank you, but I already found a photograph. And then, curious as I am, I asked him what he needed it for. And he told me the story about Second Lieutenant Montgomery Coddington, who was on a mission on June 7th, 1944, a strafing mission over France, and he was shot down. And the people of France are going to build a memorial to him in a small French town, which I can't pronounce, but it's near Mayenne, France. And this came about through the Mayenne World War II Association, which is a French association that tries to find the crashes of all U.S. pilots so they can honor them.
Wow, that is quite an undertaking there. And so basically this whole thing started with somebody just shooting an email looking for a picture of a P-38 for a news article, and that's sort of how you guys even got involved in this.
is, yes, and Julianne, who was the reporter, put me in touch with the vice president of this Mayan World War II Association. His name is Vincent, and Vincent sent me photographs of what they've been doing to try and recover the P-38 that crashed over there.
Wow. Now, this isn't to be confused with, there's two P-38s that we're talking about. There's another one that washed up, and I think they recently saw some pictures of it sitting in the beach. Where is that in reference to that P-38? How far are you guys apart?
That's actually the Maid of Harlech, which is in Wales. It's off the coast of Wales. That's another whole project that's going on out there. We've been contacted about that a little bit. There's a lot of negotiations, I believe, that's going on, and a lot of environmental impact and landowners and RAF and Duxford and people trying to figure out what best to do with that airplane right there. So it's still under the sand and the surf right out there, and I believe they haven't made a decision one way or another on where that one's going. So yeah, that's definitely a small continent away from where our P-38 is presently being excavated.
Now, I know that you guys have done some actual recovery work and with this P-38. What are some of the artifacts you've recovered so far, and what are the procedures that you guys are going through as far as actually going down and getting the aircraft, artifacts up, and what are your long-term goals for the project?
Well, here comes a shameless plug, P-38 National Association website, there is a link on there that you can actually bring up the photographs of the excavation that are taking place over there. And they have pulled out quite a few interesting artifacts out there, and they're constantly sending stuff our way trying to identify what specific part of a P-38 is this. It was in kind of rough shape there. It's in a farmer's field there, and there's some kind of hilarious shots there where they have to shoo the cows off every once in a while when they go out there and dig out the stuff. But if you look at the pictures on there, full propeller blades, a couple V-12 Allisons came out. One of the Allisons came out was it's amazing the difference in the soil consistency over there than the crash sites we deal over here on stateside. Very well preserved, and they even found artifacts of the lieutenant's parachute, his shoes, different artifacts on the airplane. Another thing that kind of unnerves me a little bit is there's one photo on there that shows all the 50 cals and 20 millimeter cannon rounds all dumped in a huge pile, and I don't know how sure those 20 millimeters are. The 50 cals you can work around, but those 20s, that's a little scary. They just have a picture of them thrown into a big heap there. But the propeller blades they're actually going to use for the memorial that they're going to build to the lieutenant in France there. And the rest of the artifacts, it's not an airplane that's going to go back together. It'll be parted out. They do have a museum, I think, Dale, over there.
They're going to put together some type of display with all of the parts they do find.
Right. So, anyway, they... unfortunately, it's not one of those airplanes that we'll see flying anytime soon. But, it's being presented in a way that will best represent that mission, that airman, and what all that represents there. And, of course, we at P-38 National, obviously we want to see P-38s fly. We've only got 7 of them flying in the world. And, the more the better. But even this is a tribute to a long-lost hero.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know the manner in which he got shot down? Was it from another aircraft or any aircraft, or just a mechanical issue?
It said the aircraft was observed at 500 feet with coolant streaming from one engine, probably was the result of small arms fire.
Okay. And the gentleman did perish in the crash, is that correct?
Yes, he did.
That's where the story actually kind of gets a different life to it, and that's where Dale... because she's also a genealogist, they had one of the original, after we got involved, was actually trying to find out where he was. He was a Phoenix, he was a native of Phoenix, Arizona, and nobody could seem to find out where he was interred at. So I thought I should let Dale explain this part of it, because it's kind of a and interesting just to find out where he was located at. So, Dale, I'll let you enlighten on that a little bit.
Well, being a genealogist, I have access to all sorts of different records, and I did contact the Arizona Archives to see if they could help out, and they led me down the right path, but we knew that he was probably back in Phoenix, but he had been buried in a U.S. military cemetery and sent back or repatriated to the United States in 1949. And my day job is manager of a cemetery, so I do have other connections in that vein. So I started calling around and emailing the different cemeteries around the Phoenix area and came across one person that was managing the cemetery and asked him if he had Lieutenant Coddington or perhaps his mother or grandmother, because that's a whole different story. But anyway, he said, no, he's not here. But I said, well, can you check these two other names, his mother and grandmother? And sure enough, Lieutenant Coddington's name was in his grandmother's file, and his ashes were put in a crypt there at one of the cemeteries in Phoenix with his mother and grandmother.
Wow, that's an incredible amount of research. How long did it take you to get all that together?
About 3 days.
that's astonishing. I mean, a lot of times, like right now, I'm trying to research somebody, and there's just no information out there. That's incredible.
Well, email me with a name, and maybe I can help you out.
I appreciate that. Well, what are the particulars of the aircraft? Do you guys know what unit he was in and what type of, what model the P-38 was?
It was a P-38L. He was in the, it's kind of an interesting roundabout way he ended up where he at, was that P-38, you got me all stumbled up here.
Yeah,
428 Fire Squadron, right. His outfit was actually formed up here in Southern California, and he spent some training time at Glendale, when he went to Van Nuys, spent a little time up here at Palmdale, and then he was sent overseas, and he was a member of the 474th Fighter Group, 9th Tactical Air Force in England. Remember, this is June 7th, so he was flying in support of the invasion on D-Day there, is when he got shot down there. And kind of an interesting side note to the whole thing. Over there, there was a young kid, a young boy, young girl, I can't remember, at the excavation, and he was watching intently at the excavation.
A woman,
there it was. And she actually was a young child there, and she remembers the day that the airplane had actually crashed into the field there. And she was 12 years old, and in front of her, and she said the P-38 fell in flames on the prairie. And she said she didn't really want to talk about it, but she was told that her grandfather had actually gone out to the crash site, recovered the pilot's body, and at nighttime went out and actually buried it in the woods so the Germans wouldn't find him. And it's kind of interesting how he ended up from there, you know, finally ends up in an American cemetery. He had quite a little bit of travel in there after his demise there, before he came back. And kind of neat that we're still in that window to where eyewitness accounts of events like this are still out there occasionally. We've been doing a lot of work on some Gillespie raid stuff, and every once in a while you'll find some young person still alive that has a recollection of what had happened that day. And to have an eyewitness to Coddington's demise, it was pretty special for everybody involved. And we're going over there in June to the dedication of the monument, and it'll be kind of interesting to talk to these people firsthand.
If somebody wanted to sort of get involved with your project, is there a way that they could? Is there a way that you're looking for volunteers or donations or anything like that? Anything that they could do to help out if there's a listener out there that wants to come and somehow contribute to your organization?
Right, they have asked for a little bit of financial help over there with that. And once again, tough economy and It is France, even though I think they're doing financially better than we are probably over here. But anyway, you can always get to p38association.org. We do have links on our website there as far as making donations in honor of Lieutenant Coddington and going towards that monument. We are a nonprofit, and everything we have goes to, you know, meaningful projects like this. So, you know, that would help it out a lot. You know, I'll tell you what, while I was throwing it out there too, become a member of the association, and you want to go on some of these trips and meet up with us. We go all over the country and attend all kinds of programs and put on programs, and we do a lot of this type of thing. And once again, it's that next generation that's out there right now. We're looking to have them roll up their sleeves and let's keep this legacy going of these guys and the aircraft that they flew. So, yeah, I would say that'd probably be your best bet is just contact us direct through the P-38 Association website there.
Well, you're absolutely right. It is definitely up to the next generation to keep the memories alive, keep the aircraft preserved, and be able to keep the stories going. And I, you know, the memorial is going to be a great memorial. I'd like to, you know, hopefully see some images along the way as they're building it. I think that'd be really interesting. And you know, that's a great way to at least pay respect to a fallen hero that gave us all on D-Day. And we want to thank you guys for coming on. It's been, you know, we can sit here talking about this for hours, absolutely hours. And listen, like I said, when you hear P-38, I think everybody out there that's in the Warbird sort of listens up a little bit harder when you hear P-38
Chris?
It's funny that you mention that because the P-38 was the P-38 is what got me into aircraft. I was in I think it was in high school. I was in an aviation class that I took just because it was easy and it was an easy credit. But
that's awesome. But
this is true. But and the first thing we had to do was we had to pick an aircraft that we liked and build a balsa scale model of it. And now, mind you, those things take forever to build. And you know, of course I picked the one with the biggest guns on it. And I was like, this thing looks cool. But after that, like, I really got a lot of research into it and looked a lot up about it. And I'm happy to say the P-38 is what got me into aviation.
I'll tell you one thing I know from traveling around and all the places and people I talked to. Sacramento Air Show last year was real special to us because we had five P-38s in the air at one time. We lost one over Fresno with an engine problem, but we did get four of them on the ground up there in Sacramento, and we had this huge turnout. And it's amazing that everybody has a P-38 story. And I know those P-51 guys carry a lot of gloss, but you know, at the end of the that 38 is early on in that war kept us safe and free. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of P-38 fans out there, even though sometimes they're in the closet. But yeah, I'm trying to outreach to those guys and say, hey, you're welcome in our clan.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the honor, thanks to Zach Boffman at the EA Museum, had a chance to actually sit in the P-38. Their P-38 painted up as March out at the Oshkosh EA Museum. And
yeah,
man, what a you just feel cool being around that airplane. I mean, it's you know, it's just such a cool aircraft, and amazingly, I thought a roomy cockpit. And you know, I mean, obviously we didn't go fly. I'd love to, but we didn't. But it was just really neat, you know, climbing around this thing. But it is it's a monster of an airplane, and to be considered a fighter, you know, something that's that big, it's just an impressive airplane. And I think as a kid, and you said everybody has a P-38 story. As a kid in second grade, my teacher had a poster on a wall in history class, and I fell in love with that airplane. I didn't know what it was, but I was like, man, that is neat. And
yeah,
at the end of the year, he actually gave me the poster. So,
and that's good, and that's the thing that you know, my connection to the P-38. My mom came out from Iowa. She was a Rosie the Riveter that came out during the war years, and as luck would have it, she ends up on the assembly lines at Lockheed down there building P-38. And so I always lived that. My dad's a Douglas man, and so, you know, I got the best of both worlds in my household. But yeah, the 38, you know, that you're right. It is. It seems spacious, even though you get a lot of complaints from guys. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was kind of, yeah, that's the demise over in England there with high altitudes, and it was cold, and the heating was inadequate. But, you know, that plane had to go through a lot of before it finally came into its own. When that P-38L model came out, boy, that was the hot rod to have. And the guys that got the L model from that time on with the aileron, assisted aileron boost, and it was just a phenomenal aircraft. And from that point on, it just doesn't get the gloss that, once again, the glamour of the war got in the 51, but it was a workhorse that was produced before the war, right up to the end of the war, and it just did yeoman duty out there. And it has nothing to apologize for when it comes to its record.
Absolutely. The two high-scoring aces in the Pacific flew it. So, I mean, I think that should sort of tell you something about the P-38.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, even the guys over in England, and I have a lot of guys that were good friends of mine that have long since gotten their twin tails and flew to the great beyond. But, you know, the stories that they shared over there, boy, those guys down in North Africa with the early models, when they were screaming for P-38s down there, and the guys in Italy that were getting the 38s there, and the tallies and the scores and the records and the ground support and the roughness and toughness of that airplane, and having that second engine out there to get you home when you were riddled with bullets. And it was a big airplane to be considered a fighter, but 450s and a 20mm cannon at the nose of that thing, and just get that guy in front of you, and you'll level the playing field. And once again, that airplane, especially later on when we got the later models of it, got the buds work out of it, and the dive flaps and the correct compressibility problems and the tail flutter and all that. Once they got all that stuff worked out, that plane really came into its own.
Kelly Johnson really knew how to design an airplane.
Absolutely. Kelly was he's a hero. And you talk about Fitch Salmon and Tony LeBeer and Milo Burcham and all those test pilots that they had around him out there working out those details. Those guys were the right people at the right time for this country.
Absolutely.
Well, once again, Bob, we want to thank you for coming on tonight and talking with us.
No problem.
And one more time, what is your website? One more time.
It's p38assn.org, p38association.org. And usually, if you punch it in there into your Google search, just P-38 Nashville will come up. We're the number one P-38 site on the Internet, so it usually comes up first on the list there on your Google search or whatever. I'm not here to promote any search engine, but if you decide to go that way. And you can always contact Dale here. Dale has her email listed out there, and our website designer or master, which is Kelshine, she's available to contact at any time. And you know what, all I can do is throw it out there, you know, hey, come on board and be a member. We put out a magazine 3 times a year with all kinds of these kind of stories in it, and all kinds of exciting stuff. We have our general membership meeting every year at Valley at the Grand Canyon. We got P-38 rides. I know that's kind of a interesting way to put that, but Planes of Fame is nice enough that they come out there and they do some membership-sponsored P-38 rides for those that are willing. If you're going to fly a P-38, we've got the only one that has that capability. You come out to the Grand Canyon and do it. You have two national landmarks there and one trip. So we always invite people to come out there and partake in that.
Yeah, so Grand Canyon by P-38, I think that would be pretty sweet. I think, I think that would pretty much make my year.
There you go. It's on everybody's bucket list. It's an aviation. Okay, before I die, I got to at least fly a P-38.
Yeah, flying over the Grand Canyon to the P-38, absolutely.
Got it. They can't get any better than that.
Well, Bob and Dale, thank you guys so much for being here tonight. And we look forward to hearing any updates along the way. Please, please feel free to come back on and update us about what's going on at the memorial. And once again, thank you so much for being here tonight.
All right, we'll see you guys later.
So, yeah.